Great way to start here. We're gonna jump into our message here. Man, Lloyd, is there any way to turn that down? It's really like no. I can't see
it's
anything.
I know. It's hard to see. Yeah. It's okay.
Okay.
All right.
We're gonna jump into the message this morning, but I got two things I want to throw out to you real quick. We don't do announcements a whole lot, but today, everybody say today.
Today.
Today's really special for a couple of reasons. One, we had baptisms. Two, because today is the last day. If you thought you could slide by and not do it, you could still sign up for the men's retreat this morning. So there are 45 guys right now who are going. If you're going on a men's retreat, would you raise your hand there? If you're interested in going, we have the cheaper of the two options still available, so you can't even use that as an excuse. If you're interested in going this coming weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, see one of those guys who put their hands up, you can still sign up today. All right. Other than that, also say, everybody say today. Today at 2 o'clock, Jenny's band, Stained Glass Road, is performing out at, they're going to be playing out at Yancer's Tree Farm. So go out there, support local business, get something to eat, hear some good music, and a good time together. Amen? Great.
Thank you. 2 to 6. All right. So last week we started a mini-series called Expand. And last week I talked about how big God is, right, and how we can surrender our hearts to Him and let Him move in our lives. We talked about the universe and just how big Jesus is and how much He wants to work in our lives and expand our borders. We talked about a guy named Jabez, who's only mentioned in the Bible one time with like two or three scriptures. So 1 Chronicles chapter 4, let's read this together. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, and that it may not pain me." And God granted him what he requested. So, and then we said, where's the rest of the information? How did he get that? So listen to last week's message. But today we're going to talk about expanding the church. So let's look at this next slide. Or isn't it
there.
Working?
Nope, okay. I'm getting there. Helps when I plug it in.
All right.
I'm out of practice. I wasn't here last week.
What we talked about last week is we don't need to have or do more in order to expand and increase. We need to do the best we can with what we already have and what we already do, okay? Right where we are. Do the best you can right here. Because I know the men's retreat title is No Excuses. And I think Seth's like, yeah. And we make a lot of excuses in our lives to not expand because it's too hard, it's too much, there's too much time, I don't have enough. We all say it. So we want to do the best we can with what we already have. And when we do the best we can with what God has given us, He will increase and expand our borders as we delight ourselves in Him. So personal growth happens one decision, one change, and one day at a time. And that is what I talked about last week. One decision, one change, and one day at a time. Today we're talking about the church. All right? The church. The kingdom of God expands one life at a time. Now, today we're meeting as church, Blue Mountain Community Church, right? And this is cool. I love coming together with you guys. Welcome back those who were on the couples retreat last week. And I know next week some of the guys will be away, but ladies, come help me out. We're going to do part 3 next week. But do you know that we're not the only church meeting right now, right? We're not the only church meeting, and there are other churches meeting right now. Not just here, but around the globe. And I love how the Lord, has that whole, 24-hour period before the earth moves, so everybody's getting up at different times. So church is happening all day, right? And it's just...
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Well, there's church somewhere, too. So
yeah, yeah. Right. So God has given us this church, though, to steward. So we want to do the best we can with what God has given us. And we know that we're not perfect. Say, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. We know, Cliff and I are well aware that we have a lot of holes, right? That there are a lot of spaces that aren't filled. But we do the best that we can with what God has given us, and we trust God to fill in the holes. So let's read Proverbs 29:18 together. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law." Basically, that means where there's no vision, the people perish. Why? There's no guidance. There's no direction. There's no vision. The people are, I don't know where I'm going. What am I doing, right? That's me at Walmart when they move stuff around, right? There's no vision. Where is it, right? Imagine if you put a blindfold on your eyes and they say, okay, we're going to drive to Florida right now. Well, how? I can't see. So when we said we need a vision to say this is where we're going and here's what it kind of looks like, right? Not just, hey, we want to grow as a church. We want to expand our borders. We want to get more kids to be involved. Well, what does that look like? How do we get there? So we have to make a plan. I'm going to talk more next week about how to make a plan, okay? But we want to keep the law. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. That sounds a lot like teamwork, right? We're a church that trusts God's word. We love the Lord. We want to help people come to know, love, and serve him. We want to be a community of believers as described in Acts 2. That's where everybody works together, that we help each other when there's lack. When one person's up and another person's down, the person that's up picks that person up. And when that person's up, that person picks that person up. And we're always working together because guess what? We all have valleys and hills, right? And when you're in a valley, don't stay home. Come to church to get help. Come to your people. Don't stay home and hide and say, well, nobody will notice me, right? So notice that I'm missing. Yeah, we will. All right. So go ahead. All right. So that's the church, and we're going to continue on in that. But go ahead.
Yeah, and why is this so important is because we have to understand our role as a church. And because you're here, you are part of that church, right? Part of the local body. The world wants simple answers to complex problems. And when I say the world, I'm talking about what is given to the mindset of the flesh, okay? And listen, we don't have to belabor this, okay? But, you know, any solution out there, any problem that's out there, the world just says, well, there's an easy solution to that. You know, oh, the economy, we'll just tax the rich and all our problems will be solved. You know, depression and anxiety, we'll slap a label on it and we'll give it a pill and you'll be okay. You know, same-sex attraction and gender fluidity, well, love is love and just follow your heart and you're okay there. The Middle East, oh, a two-state solution, that'll solve everything, you know? Oh, the Ukraine, well, nobody knows what to do with the Ukraine, but it's the same idea. Like, oh, can't we all just get along here? Our own border, the solution is don't let anybody in, or the solution is let everybody in. You know, it's on and on and on and on and on it goes. Okay? These are not simple problems with simple solutions. They are incredibly complex because at the root and heart of every one of those problems is a human being created in the image of God, created on purpose and for a purpose. People matter to God, not just us in our comfy, cozy little church here, but all around the world. And in all these conflicts and dealing with all these situations, they all matter intricately and critically to God. And the root of those problems isn't the people, it's the sin nature within us. And sin seeks the path of least resistance. It's like water. Okay, or any liquid, right? Physics 101. Liquid finds, water is going to find the path of least resistance and seek its own level. What? It's going to seek the ground in the fastest way possible, and that is our sin nature. It looks for the simplest, easiest solution that it can accomplish. And it continues. It can't be legislated, policed, or even pacified to be content. Sin is relentless and never satisfied, and it's going to keep going and going and going until it is restrained. And we just saw this back here in Proverbs, right? Where there's no vision, the people are unrestrained. Well, what restrains sin? The word of God is what restrains sin. It's the only thing that keeps sin in check. That's why Jesus spoke the word when the devil tempted him, and he said, no, Satan, it is written. The word restrains sin. And how do we restrain sin in our families and in our communities and in our culture and in our country and in the world? When the church and the individuals in it raise the standard of God's ways and live it out day after day after day after day after day. That's how sin is restrained. And it takes all of us a true community effort to affect life transformation. You know, it takes an entire community resource to help one addict overcome it and be clean and sober. It takes an entire community to come alongside and help restore a marriage. It takes an entire community of believers to come alongside and help raise our children into the next generation. That's our job. That's our responsibility. That's the process, you know?
Yep.
And so it's not about coming to church and, okay, I hit my checkbox for the week. I gave God an hour. Ooh, I gave him an hour 10 today, so you owe me, God. I'm on overtime, right? It's not about that. And about, you know, and we understand you come where you are and we let the Holy Spirit minister to you and work you, because that's what Jesus did. He met people right where they were and then called them into that higher standard, that new way of living. It's a process, right? But you can't, listen, if you think, oh, I'm just going to, you know, if Sunday alone is not the answer, it is because it's not something that you do. Church is an extension of your lifestyle that you live out day after day after day after day. And so you come to church and you get around other people and you develop friendships and you develop a social network that's going to be there, be a positive support and influence for you. You're going to hear the word of God and you're going to take it home and you're going to apply it, because we send you going deeper questions that are intended to help you go deeper and meditate on it and apply it to your life throughout the week. You're going to engage in praise, which gets your focus off yourself and onto God, who is the true center of the universe. And then throughout the week, we have other opportunities for you to get involved in Celebrate Recovery. You heard Jason say, get involved with Celebrate Recovery and help overcome your hurts and habits and hangups, and get around other people and get topic or issue specific and develop a true network of people who are there. Hey, I'm going to be there. I'm going to help you. You know, when you're struggling, they're there for you. And they, hey, I've been there. Let me help you out. And accountability and all those things. And you get involved in a small group, and so there's a small group of people who know you and you can trust, and they rejoice with you when there's a success, and they're there for you when you're struggling, and there's accountability, and then you're developing a personal devotional life. You are reading the word and it's intentionally applying it to yourself and talking to the Lord about it in prayer and writing it down in a journal. That's the process, and it takes time, but when you do it over and over and over and over again, and you do it more often than you don't do it, that's how life transformation happens. And as you are transformed, the church is transformed, and as the church is transformed, so is our community and so is our world. That's Amen. How it works.
Amen. Amen. And Cliff and I, we are so excited about what God's doing in our church, in our teen ministry, at our Celebrate Recovery, at Sunday mornings, in all the small groups that are happening. It is just amazing to see the power of God moving in individual lives in an amazing way. I mean, we could tell you story after story after story of what we're hearing, and that would only be what we're hearing. You know, and what are you guys hearing? What are you seeing God doing? And don't you want to be involved in that? Don't you want to be part of that? Something bigger, right? The church, something bigger than just the mundane of life. You know, we want to wake up in the morning and say, yeah, I want to serve Jesus today. I want to bless, I want to build his kingdom today. Lord, help me be a blessing today. Everywhere I go, let me be a blessing. Help me be your hands and feet.
2 weeks ago, I was here, and I broke down in tears during the praise. I was in the back, and I just happened to glance through, and I look around, and I don't know all of you, and we would love, trying to get to know everybody. The church is growing, right? But, some of you, I do know your stories, and I know when you came, and you came out of the meat grinder of life, and you came here, and you feel like a hamburger patty, and like, okay, we got to make something nice out of this. How do you make something, a nice dinner out of hamburger, right? I don't know where that analogy went or came from, but anyway, you get the idea, right? You feel really beat up, and God makes something really incredible out of your hamburger. So I don't know, he's a master chef. But the point is, I'm looking around and I saw, I saw people who I know, like, man, they came and I know what they've been through, and I see where they are now, and I see couples who came and they were on the verge of divorce, and I see them in praise time snuggle up against each other and raising their hands, and I thought, God, you are so good. Mm-hmm. He does that, not us, but he does it when you give yourself to it.
I was thinking when Jason was sharing his story, if he did it for Jason, he could do it for you.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And Jason, I love that he has his journal. Ding, 25 cents, right? That he has his journal. He's already written a story. He's already started the story. And how is God going to finish that story in his life, right? Because he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it, Amen. Right? Until he comes back again. So Jason, never give up. Keep moving forward with your family, right? That's awesome. So we want to let our roots go down deep, okay? And no offense, if you came here from another church, we welcome you. We're glad you're here. There's people that have left our church and gone to other churches, and that's okay. God sometimes, transplants and moves. But think about when you go somewhere, let your roots go down deep. Don't stay shallow and say, I'm only going to stay here as long as I'm getting everything I need, right? And I'm going to let my roots be shallow. And then as soon as something goes wrong, uproot it, right? A plant is not meant to be planted and then transplanted and then transplanted and then transplanted unless it's growing into larger pots, right? So we want to make sure we're not just uprooting and uprooting and uprooting and we're dying, right? I should not be talking about plants because I typically kill them. But anyway, maybe I'm transplanting too often. I like it here. No, I think I want it over here. No, I think I want it here, right? But God wants us to let our roots go down deep so that we can grow and we can flourish and we can bear fruit, a lot of fruit, right? The one little seed that makes thousands and thousands of seeds. Proverbs 12:12 says, "The wicked man desires the booty of evil men, but the roots of the righteous yields fruit." The root of the righteous yields fruit. And then Proverbs 11:30, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls." We have to walk in a way that says, Jesus is with me all the time. He's not out there somewhere beyond the clouds. He's with us all the time. And from the time we were, before we were even born in the womb, Jesus was with us. But we have to decide when we're going to acknowledge his presence. And that is why when we take Jesus with us all day long, read his word, get it into our hearts, get it into our souls, get it into our minds. It doesn't mean we're not going to make a mistake, that we're not going to have a rough day. But let Jesus be with you through it and guide you every step of the way. He wants to walk with us every day, all day, not be put on a shelf, right?
The fruit of your roots is salvation for those in your circle of influence.
That's right.
That's what Proverbs says. Yeah. Win souls by letting the Lord work in your life. We're going to get to that in a minute.
That's right. Okay. So our mission is what we do. Let's say it together. Our mission is to help today's generation come to know, love, and serve Jesus. And our vision is how we do it, to be a community of believers as described in Acts 2. Okay, we'll keep moving. In Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus said this. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." He was telling his disciples, "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That sounds like a promise from Jesus, but it's a commission. They call it the Great Commission. He gave them a job. He didn't say, "No, I want you to go home and I want you to cry about it because I'm leaving and just be sad until you die and then you'll come to heaven." He's like, "Here's your job. I've taught you everything I can possibly teach you. Now you go." Parents, don't you want to do that with your kids? "Kids, I've taught you everything I possibly could teach you. And I'm going to heaven, and now you teach the next generation and the next generation and the next generation until Jesus returns." We are created to expand. Jesus sent them out. And Cliff and I grew up in our church. If you don't know us super well yet, I was 6 or 7 when I first started coming to the church with my grandmother. My grandmother brought me to church, and I'm so thankful for that generation that brought me. We were in the back where the lobby is right now. That was our church building, right? It looked a whole lot different. But I remember coming, and then I met this really cute guy, and he was 10, right? And I made him a banana split, and we got married the next day.
Yeah. You are talking about me,
yeah,
right?
Talking about, yeah.
Okay, just checking.
The way we met, he came to my house. I said, "Do you want a banana split?" He said, "Yes." That was it, right? We got engaged. No. But anyway.
It was love at first bite.
Yeah. The kids in the front row are rolling their
good
eyes, especially Bella.
That was
okay.
Pretty good. I got to write that one
so
down.
So anyway.
Kind of amazed myself with that one.
But the reason I say that is because we have watched our church grow. And not just in number, because we don't really focus on the numbers. I mean, we have to know how many are here, so we make sure that we have enough space for everybody. But we recognize at one point, you know what? In order to expand our numbers, we have to expand our parking lot. Because we don't have enough room for parking. We have enough room for seating, but not enough room for parking. And we continue to. Lloyd continues to do his magic in how to expand our parking lot more so we can get just one more car, just one more family, just one more car, right? So we have seen it. And that go into all the world and preach the gospel used to be on the back wall, actually back there, and then it was here for a while till we got the big screen. But that was before us, a map of the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. But God wants us to start here with what we already have and where we already are. And then, of course, we support missions too. So the Lord uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things for his kingdom. You do not have to be a special person or have a special calling or a special touch from God. Like Jesus has to show up to you to show you that he's called you. He has called you. He has designed you. And you can share your story. Just like Jason shared his story, We could have left right there. His story was a message to all of us. We could have gone home right then, right? Watch out, you'll be preaching. But, you know, God uses ordinary people with ordinary lives, tough situations, to bring him glory. And that's what you were created for. So he's going to use you. All right. In Matthew 5, 14 to 16, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." You know what that means? The world is dark, and you turn a light on, and it illuminates the darkness. He says, "We, a church, we're the city on a hill. It cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven." Not see all the great things you do and lift you up and glorify you, because sometimes you serve and you don't get thanked. Sometimes you Amen. Do. You pour out everything that's in you, and everyone goes, "Oh yeah, yeah, good job." And you're like, "Oh, I'm exhausted," right? But it doesn't matter. Your praise, your God is proud of you. He's proud of you for what you're doing. He sees what's hidden. He sees what you do when no one else is looking, right? Okay. So expand. Now the local church is the light and hope of the world. So there. This is how I'm kind of defining the church and different roles the church plays. So we have church, the body of Christ, right? So the church is the body, all the different parts doing their work to represent Jesus to the world. The church represents Jesus. And I'm going to say, you represent Jesus. And if you come here and you tell people, "I go to Blue Mountain Community Church," you represent Blue Mountain Community Church. And just this week, I was having a conversation with someone who was hurt by someone in our church years ago. I don't know who it was, and it doesn't matter. But I said, one person's voice does not represent the whole church. But I want to encourage you. And then I told them, "Hey, we have a 7-week series for that. Listen to that," right? But I said, don't base your desire to be part of the church on what one person said and did to hurt you. Go to them and talk with them. Forgive, right? So we're the body of Christ. We represent Jesus to the world. We're also an organization of people, right? We have groups. We have small groups. We have ministries. We're like organized in groups, which is basically so that everyone is cared for. It's not cliques, because there's always an empty chair. Pastor Rick taught us there's always an empty chair. No matter what small group we have, we always want to have room for just one more, at least just one more, okay? And then we are a business, which we hate to talk about that because people think, "Oh, the business, all they want is my money, blah, blah, blah." Well, if you've been here long enough, we haven't passed an offering bucket in 4 years, and the Lord has blessed us more than what he did when we did pass the bucket. So we ain't passing it anymore, right? I mean, hey, it's working, right? Thank you for all of you who give tirelessly, those that give online, God has just provided in an amazing way. But we have employees, we have staff, we have healthcare to pay for, we have lights we got to put on. It's like a house, right? I should have put that church, the house. You were going to talk about the business real quick.
Well, yeah. Just
I don't know how much time we have.
Not much,
yeah,
but just, you know, people get funny about those kind of things when we talk about the business of church. But the reality is it's an area of responsibility in which the Lord has called us to be mature and be a disciple of, be a good steward of it. If he wants to expand all of our resources, then we have to be a good steward of what he's given us, including our people and including our budget. And so you have to approach it as a business and say, "Hey, if that's not making money, you know, then we're not going to do that." You know, I don't believe in just throwing money away into a funnel or things. But also how we saw that that when we began to take this approach and honor our employees and honor all those things, that the Lord has caused an increase. He expanded it because it's honoring to him. So, yeah. You know, I know that gets people a little under the collar. But when you wrestle with it and you understand what God's word says and you see him working in it, it's just one more area we can say, "God, you work." And let's see what he does.
Yep, we do the best we can with what God's given us. Yep. So pray for us as we, you know, work all those details and the nitty-gritty of things. And then we are a mission, right? We are a place where people can come and they can get their needs met to the best of our ability. And sometimes somebody comes and, like, our benevolence team, they can really only help somebody, like, once a year, because we want to teach you how to fish, not just always give a fish. So we have classes that help you learn how to manage your finances. But we love to help people with, you know, food. If you need food, we have pantry. We have, you know, a clothing closet will be open at some point at the mission in Weisport. But we are here to help those in need. All right, and then, yep, and then, so let's go to this mission. Go ahead, Cliff. This is the building
in Weisport, the mission. It's been under construction, and you can see we did some major renovations this past week. When I say we, I mean the crew that's out there.
Lloyd, Jesse, and a whole bunch of other people.
Yep. So on the left there, you can see the steeple there, and I know we're going to catch a little bit of flack for that, but we took the steeple down because
it was in disrepair.
It was
rotted,
and it was full of bat poo and some other stuff, and so, the cost was going to be just too much to maintain something that was just an aesthetic, so it came down, and then they added a piece of roof here. You get a little better picture of it here, because all this water was coming down here and laying in there, and that was causing all kinds of, so we added that, and so the new roof's coming on, and so we did all those things. Why? Because it's a building to be used for God's purposes. The building exists to fit the needs and meet the needs of the people, not the other way around, and so we use it for those purposes, and so a lot of work continues on there. We're looking to be done, I think, in the next month or so.
Months. Yep.
That's the plan.
We'll keep you posted.
That's what's going on. Just wanted to give you an update on that. Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. And then we have the family of God. We're a family. And guess what? Sometimes families fight, right? Sometimes you have a little friction with somebody, but that's okay. Iron sharpens iron, right? And but we're here. And I know some of you don't have family that live in the area. So this is your family. Your small group is your family. Like, you're going to have Thanksgiving together. You're going to have Christmas together. You're going to celebrate with one another for birthdays and all those types of things. So this is a family, too. And then we have the bride of Christ. Hey, guys, sorry, but you're a bride, all right? You're the bride of Christ, the church as a whole. Jesus is preparing us for the day that he will return and take his bride to be with him, where we will get to be with him forever. There will be a banquet, a feast, right? A wedding feast. And he just can't wait for that time. But he wants us to draw as many people as possible to the saving knowledge of him. Okay, Cliff, go ahead. You can play. All right. Oh, boy.
Perfect church ruined after being attended by a human being. check out the Babylon Bee article. Grab a screenshot of that. Go read it. It's a 30-second article. It's really funny. It's satire, but...
Anyway, right. So there's no perfect church, right? We walk in it, not perfect anymore. Okay, and then we have the church is the people of God. We have a building, but the church isn't a building. This is just a place that we get to gather, and it's comfortable. Aren't you glad we don't just meet in the rain? But we could. We could just meet out in the sunshine, in the rain. Maybe that's the kind of church you'd like to have. So have your small groups outside, right? But we have a building where we could come and we can work together and people can come and have their needs met and we get together in this place. So, but the church is about the people and the building exists for the people, right? And that's how God has designed for us to be. So God says in Leviticus chapter 26, he told his people, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments so as to carry them out, then I shall give you rains in their season, so that the land will yield its produce, and the trees of the field will bear their fruit. I shall also grant peace in the land, so that you may lie down with no one making you tremble. I shall also eliminate harmful beasts from the land, and no sword will pass through your land. But you will chase your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. Now think about this. 5 of you will chase 100. And 100 of you will chase 10,000. And your enemies will fall before you by the sword. So I will turn toward you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. That sounds a lot like there's an army with us, doesn't it? 5 chasing 1,000 or 100, and 100 chasing 5,000. Then there's another place where it says 2 could chase 10,000. If 1 can chase 1,000, 2 can chase 10,000. And that's because the army of God goes with us. So when we work together, the Lord will multiply the results of our efforts. So I'll ask you a question. You probably learned this in elementary school, but let's look at this. Which would you rather have? A, $3 million today. Right now, we write a check. I don't have that kind of money, but pretend, okay? $3 million today, or one penny doubled every day for 30 days. And then you're going to add that up. One penny. So today you get a cent, tomorrow you get 2, next day you get 4 cents. And we're only going to go 30 times. What would you rather have? Well, let's look
at it. Who wants option A?
Yeah, who wants option
A? Chris is like, I'll take the $3 million.
He just
right
wants
now.
It
Thank
now,
you.
Right? Yep. No one wants to raise their hand. They're afraid. All right, option B. Anybody option B? Okay, all right. Okay, so look at day one. 1 cent, then two cents, 4 cents, 8 cents, 16 cents, 32, 64, $1.28, 256, 512. Day 10, you only got like you hardly have any money, not even like 10 bucks, right? By day 20, $5,242 that day. And by day 30, you'd be at $5,368,709.12. Just doubling, times two, 30 times. Add that up, $10,737,418.13. Imagine that were people. Imagine if every Christian, one Christian, got two people to come to Jesus. And those two people got two people. And those four people got two people each. Two people each. Two people each. Two people each. You had heard it would only take a couple months for us to completely evangelize the world if we lived like that. So I'm asking you today, will you commit to helping two people come to know Jesus in your lifetime? So, or more. Hey, somebody might have to pick up your slack, right? So imagine if that were people. All right, go ahead.
Evangelism occurs as a result of your own discipleship. That's why the church exists. That's why the church is so important. The church exists to do two things. Preach the gospel, pierce the hearts of those who do not yet know Jesus, and then equip the saints, the believers, for the work of ministry the Lord has called them to. And so evangelism happens by your process of discipleship, by allowing the Lord to work in you, his character, his traits, his ways. It has a ripple effect, not just on you, but on everybody in your circle of influence. Right? I love Craig Rochelle. That's his motto, right? He says, everybody wins when the leader gets better. Okay. Well, guess what? You are all a leader in your circle of influence. So as you improve, as your quality of life gets better, as you experience the abundant life, so does theirs. And so that's the process by which it happens. If you would read the proverb of the day, you've heard us say this, and Rick's been saying it for years, but if you would read the proverb of the day every day faithfully and apply it to your life, 30 principles that you would apply to your life at the end of 30 days, well, how different would your life look at the end of 30 days? And how different, how much of an impact would you be making on the people around you? It would be noticeable. They'd say, man, here is something absolutely different about you. Help me to know more about it. Why are you just so awesome? How is it that you are the way you are, right? And you say, well, let me tell you about my Jesus, yeah. Right? And introduce him. That's how it works, yeah. Okay? God is the God of expansion. That is who he is. It is what he does. Jenny talked last week about the universe. You know how the universe is expanding, the number of galaxies and light years and all that stuff. And I believe that the Lord created the vastness of the universe that has no end. We can't even comprehend that to help us understand that he is limitless. That we're going to spend eternity with him in which there is no end. And that we can't wrap our brains around that. If the God who created all of that, created the universe to be limitless, what makes you think he is content with a church that wants to stay small? He has created us to expand. And this is not about chasing numbers, but about doing the best we can with what he has given us and about being intentional and authentic in bringing Jesus to those in our circle of influence. Okay?
It's funny. Stay on that. See that God is a God of expansion? When I glance down, I think the Lord had me see this, but it could have just been the light in my eyes, but I saw explosion instead of expansion. And I mean exploding in like a good way. God is a God of explosion. That's what he does out in the universe, right? And we're glad he doesn't do it here all the time, right? But he is a God that can increase exponentially very quickly. And we got to be ready for him to do that kind of move. So, all right, in order to expand, you have to believe that there is more ahead. There's more ahead. Do you believe it? Say there's more ahead.
There's more ahead.
There's great stuff ahead. There's great stuff ahead. Will you choose to do the best you can with what the Lord has given you? Will you say, bless me indeed, Lord? All right.
Yep. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So, music team, you guys want to come on up here? We're going to come to the Lord's Supper this morning. It is the first Sunday of the month, and so we celebrate communion, and it's one of those times when it falls with baptisms. It's a great way to celebrate and rejoice in what the Lord has done, right? So, oh, you're joining me.
I'm joining you.
Awesome. Do you want to do it?
Sure. We'll do it together?
Sure.
Hey, two can chase 1,000, right? Or two can chase 10,000.
We obviously practiced that.
Yeah.
We talked about this.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so Jesus had that in mind when he came to the earth. You know, his goal was the expansion of the kingdom of God. Every single person, as many as possible. And to do that, he shared a meal with his friends before he went to the cross. And in that time, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat it in remembrance of me." He took the cup. He said, "Take and drink. The cup is the blood of the new covenant. The forgiveness of sins, my blood poured out for all mankind, for all those who would ask and receive it." The Apostle Paul says, "As often as you eat this meal and you drink this cup, you proclaim his death until he returns again." It's a twofold promise. We remember what Jesus has done for us. And if you've experienced his forgiveness and his new life, then it's an opportunity to come up here and celebrate that and reflect on it and honor him for that. And it's also a promise that he's coming again one day. He said that he would return from the clouds just as he went up into heaven. And so it's an opportunity for you that if you're not ready if you're not ready for that day, here's an opportunity for you to be ready. So we're just going to ask you to close your eyes for just a minute. You know, we talk about the church as a collective, but the church is made up of the individuals, and you're a part of that. If you have never before said yes to a relationship with Jesus, but that's your desire this morning, to experience his forgiveness and to experience the abundant life, and then to trust him with the future. If that's your desire this morning, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and look at us. Let our eyes meet that's your decision this morning. If I don't see you looking at us, just wave your hand or you can throw something at us. If you're on live stream, hit us up in the chat box. You know, we'll reach out to you. Okay. Why don't we pray? Why don't we all pray this out loud together as a church? Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for what you've done for me. Giving your life for me. Coming back from the dead for me. So that I can live with you. I surrender to you, Lord. By the power of your Holy Spirit, I will live each day doing the best I can with what you've given me. And I will trust you, the God of expansion, to expand in my life. May your kingdom, Lord, be done here on earth. Thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.